Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has finally come down between Jew and Gentile to form a full dwelling place for God, one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar. Hold the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Dean Braxton, is red hot for the Messiah. You see, on May 4th, 2006, he went into prolonged cardiac arrest. His heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. Doctors have said that he died at that time, and he had an experience with Jesus, an experience with God the Father, and they downloaded information into him that will allow you for the first time to understand things from heaven's perspective, which will make all the difference in the world. Dean Braxton, your prayer life is totally different as a result of what you saw in heaven. Tell me what you learned in heaven about prayer.
Well, what I learned about prayer in heaven is, first of all, I learned how fast prayer gets there. You know, I tell people that the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And I say that's how fast I was moving when I was headed to be where the Father and Jesus is in heaven. And then I tell them, I said, but the prayers that people were praying for me and others was passing me by. And I say, faster than you can blink your eye.
Did you hear them? Did you see them?
I saw them. And again, it's an experience, you know, in the sense of I experienced them. I literally even knew what the prayers were and in the sense of how someone was praying from their heart. First of all, I understood that prayer has to come from the heart. It just is not something that comes from your thinking process. It comes from the heart. And sometimes we don't have the right words that we probably say to the Lord. But if it's from the heart, he hears you. Scripture says if he hears you, then you have the request that you ask of him. And I came to understand that if you pray from your heart, whether you pray in the sense of your understanding of what you know you're praying for, or you pray in the sense of not understanding everything and not doubt. I'm not talking about doubt. I'm talking about you don't know everything, and you're praying as much as you know, but just from the heart, God hears it, and he answers them.
What, do most Christians pray from the heart?
Well, to be honest with you, I think that sometimes we don't pray from the heart. We pray from what we think God, God wants to hear from us. And a lot of times we'll come up with formulas on how to pray. And I'm not saying those are bad things, but if they're not prayed even from the heart, God is not hearing them.
Well, you talk about that we should ask God to help us pray from the heart. What did you mean by that?
What I mean by is God wants you to pray from your heart. And if you ask him, he will show you how to pray from your heart. Sometimes it may be, the best way would be if you read your Bible, the publican and the Pharisee. Remember those two that were praying?
Of course. So,
and the one man was praying, and he was sending up prayers and saying, I'm glad I'm not like this person over here. And the other man said, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. You know, he went straight from his heart, you know, and God heard him. Little kids, when they pray from their heart. So I tell people a lot of times, ask him, and he will show you how to pray from your heart. Okay? Now, the important thing about that is this. If you're praying from your heart, even if you don't know all the information and you don't know all the details of what you're praying about, God honors it as though you know everything, and he answers it as if you had prayed everything correctly because it's prayed from your heart.
But what if you pray a supernatural language? Is it possible? It seems to me that has to be from your heart.
That is, and that's the other prayer that was being sent up. The other prayer, there was two of them, and the first one I just described to you. The second one was people were praying the will of God, and they knew the will of God. When you pray in that supernatural language, You're praying in the will of God. The Bible tells us we're praying unto Him. We're praying secrets unto Him. So you're praying literally in the will of God. And I tell people a lot of times, if you pray in your prayer language, what we call our tongues, you are literally praying in the will of God.
Why is it that many Christians that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and have manifested, I believe everyone baptized in the Holy Spirit can speak in tongues, but not everyone has manifested it. Why is it that many only pray once in a while? How important is that in your opinion?
Well, I believe this is one of the things that I didn't put in the book, and I'll just share with you here, is that when I got there, every creation of God was literally praying or communicating to the Father in their own language. And I remember coming back here and saying, if you don't believe in speaking in tongues here, you're going to believe when you get there. And I remember talking to my wife and saying, everybody was speaking in their own language that God has given you, which we call tongues here. My wife and several others said, well, I thought tongues would cease, you know, according to Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse. And I went to my pastor, and he reads the Bible in Greek. And he said, that word cease comes from the root word pause. And it really means pause, and it means really take a different direction. Well, it's tongues here. There, it's your language. And I said, God loves us so much that He literally has given us a language that is our own language to communicate with Him. Now, I've come back here, and there's times when people are praying in tongues, and I literally understand what they're saying because of the experience that I've had there. And most of the time, most of us don't realize what we're really praying. We think we're interceding for a person in a certain way, and everybody, it's almost like the way that you read Psalms and how David would glorify God before he would really request of God. And I would hear people pray in tongues, and they would be praying in tongues like, you are, let's say they're praying for finances. They would say, you are the God of sustenance. You're the one that provides for me constantly. You're the one that has always seen me through. You know, they would be praying in tongues. It would be uplifting God. And every time I listened to those tongues, it would be an uplifting of God first before they would make forth the request. And it was like, whoa, people don't realize that they literally are building themselves up because they're uplifting God in the process of praying in tongues. That's good news.
Tell me what you learned about worship.
What I learned about worship is that every time we praise God in worship, and people say they want the presence of the Lord or they feel something, literally I know that the Father is singing right back to us a love song. As we are praising Him individually, He is literally singing a love song back to each and every one of us. And a lot of times, that's that presence that we are experiencing is His love, literally, for us. And you know that because some people in church services or even in gatherings, they'll be praising the Lord and they'll just be crying because of the presence of the Lord so much on them, where the person right next to them may not be experiencing anything. And I really think that comes from the heart also. Are you just singing to be singing? Are you singing because what you're singing is from your heart? And in that case, God is literally singing back a love song personally to you.
How has this changed your worship here on earth?
It's changed my worship in the sense that any time that I worship, doesn't matter where it is, I don't have to be fired up to worship. I can step into worship even now talking to you. I can start praising the Lord right now knowing that I'm praising Him from my heart and He is literally singing back to me.
Tell me about God the Father.
Whew. Well, one thing I came to understand about the Father, and it's said in the Bible, but I came to really understand it, He does love us. I mean, we know He loves us because He sent His Son. But when I looked into His eyes, I got lost just like Jesus. But I literally saw that He loves us so much, and He wants everyone there. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've gone through, no matter how they've treated other people, He still wants them there. And as long as they're on this earth, He still wants them there.
That reminds me of the scripture. It's God's desire that all be saved.
That's correct.
But the truth is, all won't be. I bet that must break His heart.
Well, it's... one of those areas that people ask me sometimes, what about when you get there if you find out you don't have a loved one there? Again, it's Jesus that fills that space in you. Just like now, Jesus fills people's loneliness. When they're lonely, he fills that space. I don't understand it all. I can't explain it, but I just know that he does. But I do know that the Father wants everyone there, just like you said. One of the things that people ask me a lot of times about the Father is, how big is he? When I used to try to explain that to people, and almost ended up with a headache trying to gather, because I tell people, when I think about the beginning, I would lose the end, and when I think about the end, I would lose the beginning. I came to understand the best way for me to explain is this. He's so big, the Bible says, that he could put the universe in his hand, you know. But he's so big that he lives inside of you. Now, that's big. You know, I use the word.
What does Jesus feel about Christians that don't like each other over doctrinal issues?
I came to understand that many of the things that we split churches for or we fight over don't get us in and they don't keep us out. They are really non-essentials to people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Many of those things block us from really being effective witnesses.
Whoops, our time is up, but I'm telling you, you are going to so enjoy what Jesus downloaded into Dean Braxton's spirit that he has put in this book, In Heaven, Experiencing the Throne of God. It's the best description and understanding of heaven you have ever had. I mean, he explains in depth what happens when you pray, keys to healing, how angels help you. He explains about how people are saved and how healing operates, and the 8 signs for the end of the age, and just about every question that you've ever had. And then we have the entire CD's radio interview, plus some extended time where he tells me things that he's never put in the book. Both available for a donation of $22. Call or write today. The book is called In Heaven. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.